Hello, my name is Kate Cooper. I'm Head of Research, Policy and Standards at the Institute of Leadership and Management. Welcome to this podcast, which is one in a series of 5 podcasts focusing on staying healthy at work. The Institute of Leadership and Management recognises great leadership as being multidimensional. We identify 5 dimensions: authenticity, vision, achievement, ownership and collaboration. We have broken these 5 dimensions down into 49 components, which enable us to organise our content, but also helps individuals access the leadership support that is immediately relevant to them. The component I will be talking about in this podcast is the healthy workplace, because a healthy workplace will contribute to higher levels of achievement. A healthy workplace helps people be more productive, impacts the bottom line, because people like working in great places. A healthy workplace is more productive. It's more attractive to talent. People want to work in great places to work, of course, and that gives benefits of cost savings because you're not replacing dissatisfied staff that are leaving. A healthy workplace where attention is paid to people not working too long hours, not being overloaded so they're fatigued, means fewer accidents and better decision making. Healthier, happier employees are much more likely to go that extra mile, to put in that discretionary effort. And all of these things will contribute to greater productivity. First thing I'm going to talk about is work-life balance. We hear a lot about work-life balance and it's generally considered to be a good thing, but there are conflicting points of view as to how realistic that is. Some will think that it's just a matter of getting clear about your different domains in your life, allocating time to them accordingly, whereas the Harvard Business Review in 2014 published an article that said that essentially work-life balance is at best an elusive ideal, but at worst, a complete myth. So in asking yourself where you are on that, do you think that you can participate successfully and satisfactorily in various personal domains and be a successful high achiever in your professional life? Do you think that balance is somehow sharing out finite resources? Or does balance to you mean generating more resources? If you think it's a sharing out of finite resources, then you will allocate time to each area in your life, some to work, family, sport and fitness, and hobbies and interests. And you can maintain clear boundaries, make sure there's enough time for each, and there you will achieve certainly some sort of work-life balance. If you see work-life balance as being more about generating resources, particularly energy, you will think that one area that's successful will spill over and bring you success in another. So if you have a happy family life, you're healthy, you take care of your nutrition, you sleep properly, you have stimulating friends that are not from work, so you have different and diverse conversations with them, you take part in interesting hobbies that challenge you again differently to the way work does, and work satisfying, there will be spillover success from each of those areas into the other, and you are generating energy and enthusiasm for all of them by participating in all of them. So the questions to ask yourself to see where you are on that sort of continuum: do you make time for interests, hobbies, and to learn new things? Are you able to switch off from one domain to the other? Can you turn off your phone? Can you stop looking at emails? And how do you view time spent with family and friends? Do you see that as vital, as important part of life, or something that you only do when you have time for? And how much time and effort do you put into maintaining your mind, body and spirit? So these are all questions you need to ask yourself when you're thinking about what work-life balance means to you. And if you're thinking about work-life balance in the context of organisations, you need to think, what access are we giving people to resources? What support are we giving them for time for health, time to participate in sport and other activities? How do we organise work? How do we arrange the environment so it's a nice place to be? And how seriously do we take the health of their employees? And how well do we understand its impact on productivity? Do we do as we say we do? Do we take breaks? Do we take advantage of flexible working? Are we serious about on-call rotas, how important they are, how fair they are, how they're allocated? Do we recognise the social function of work, allowing people space away from their desks to eat, making eating together a social activity, not powering through working lunches? Do we understand the importance of the water cooler, the casual chats, the socialising that people get so much pleasure from being with colleagues at work? We can provide all sorts of discounts for leisure activities, but ultimately we need to treat people fairly and make sure we aren't expecting them to do too long hours, to sacrifice too much of their work-life balance for the organisation. Stress is something we hear about such a lot. In the UK last year alone, 12.8 million days were lost at work through stress. And the main reason when it comes to workplace stress was actually workplace overload. But it's not just too much to do that causes stress. Not being able to control your job, not being clear about what's expected of you, being in a culture where nobody's very kind to each other, where it's very negative and people are criticising and not going that important extra mile. And when change happens around you and you feel that it's outside your control, all of those things are very stressful. So if you're serious about trying to reduce your own stress and the stress of the people that you work with, the teams that you manage, you've got to see stress as a risk. We don't want our people being stressed because there are costs associated with it. What are those costs? Let's audit them. Let's be clear how important a healthy working environment is. Let's get some of the simple things right first. Let's talk about flexible working, encouraging people to have more autonomy. Provide mental health support through employee assistance lines and understand that initially that reducing workplace stress will require an investment. But you only have to listen to the proponents of the four-day working week who argue that once switching to a four-day week, they're being as productive, if not more, as they were in five, to know that helping people manage their work-life balance, recognise the stress that work imposes on people, can actually, in the longer term, deliver better results. So it's an investment. Mental health at work is something that's of particular interest to the Institute of Leadership and Management. We've been part of a four-year study now with Business in the Community, Mental Health at Work and other partners, looking at awareness of mental health in the workplace and the sorts of positive action that companies are taking in order to support people with mental health issues and reduce the incidence of them. In addition to the factors we mentioned earlier that contribute to stress, also having a poor relationship with your colleagues, with your manager, contributes to poor mental health. Having financial problems contributes to poor mental health. Things that are actually distracting you from being able to focus on the work that you're supposed to do and are potentially quite upsetting. So, in summary, really, it's a question to think about, what habits do I have? Are there things that I could change in order to improve my work-life balance, to reduce stress, and to have a positive impact on people around me and my mental health and the mental health of my colleagues? So the questions I think you should ask yourself are, do you allow work to invade every aspect of your life? Is work such a priority that everything else comes a poor second? Do you self-medicate using food, using alcohol, in order to make yourself feel better, that quick fix, that mood fixer, as it were? Do you not look after yourself in all the ways I was talking about earlier? But I think the big question to ask yourself is, do you actually see everything else that's not to do with work not being real? Thank you for listening to the podcast. Please do go on to our website, www.institutelm.com, and subscribe to this podcast series. Thank you for listening.